Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants. One they beat, another they killed, a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' When the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him his produce at the proper time." Then Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By this has the Lord been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew he was speaking about them. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Remember the marvels the Lord has done. The Lord does marvels every day for which we should be filled with gratitude. But among his greatest marvels is when he takes out of the worst evils the greatest good. See in the first reading the betrayal of Joseph the patriarch's brothers. They had so much envy toward Joseph that they refused even to speak to him. And then they plotted their own brother's death, the son of their father whom they claimed to love. They wanted to murder him outright, but Reuben intervened in an attempt to rescue him, put him down into a cistern, but for the other 11 brothers, that cistern was as good as a death sentence. There was no way he was going to escape from it. Then when they saw their second cousins, the Ishmaelites, coming, they said, "Let's sell him basically into slavery. That way we won't have his blood on our hands," as if what they were doing were somehow now moral. But he would live a life of slavery and probably be killed, because slaves could be killed on any whim whatsoever. But out of that, we know God saved all 11 brothers. God saved Jacob. God saved all the descendants from the terrible famine that would hit that region of the globe. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. And the Jews, as we saw in that psalm, remembered precisely what had been done by God through the salvation of Joseph through his betrayal. Today in the Gospel, we see something similar. Jesus gives this parable of the vineyard straight out of Isaiah, of how God himself had tended his vineyard and prepared it so that it would give luscious fruit, but how the tenants, the Jews that he had put there, hadn't produced that fruit. And he sent them, his servants, the prophets, to be able to help them to bear its fruit. But as Jesus says in the parable, They seized those servants, they beat them, killed them, and stoned them. And he sent other waves, and that's what happened. And finally he said, I'll send my son, they'll respect my son. But they drove the son out of his own vineyard and killed him there. They clearly perceived the message that Jesus was trying to describe. And yet even after the parable, their plots to murder Jesus continued. They didn't acknowledge that he was the son. But nevertheless, that whole theme of possibly rejecting the ones God had sent, they hadn't gotten that message. But even after the terrible destruction on Good Friday, the worst evil that's ever been committed in the history of the world, God brought the greatest good of all with Jesus' resurrection, saving not just the Jews, saving not just the Egyptians, saving not just those who had plotted his demise, but the whole world, us included. Remember the marvels the Lord has done. The reason why I wanted to read these readings from the second Friday of Lent is because they're a proper introduction to the extraordinary marvel the Lord did with St. Patrick. 16, as you know, he was captured and brought into slavery in Ireland for 6 years. Even though he was the son of a deacon and the grandson of a married priest in modern-day Scotland, he said in his confessio, his praise of God, that he still didn't really know the true God. He didn't have that personal relationship. He knew about him, obviously, but he didn't really know him. Who was in that time of slavery for 6 years, as he was working throughout the days and working throughout the night, that he began to learn how to pray and pray without end. Eventually became so sensitive to what God was whispering to him that the Lord was able to show him in a dream the path to an escape. And it wasn't going to be an easy one. It would have been very simple to debunk it. He was going to have to run for 200 miles in order to get to a place where he saw a boat. But after those 6 years in captivity, he had grown to trust in God enough that he was willing to make that journey. And while they were on the boat, it was like a second story of Jonah, where the waves were enveloping all of the sailors, and it was an opportunity for Patrick to evangelize the sailors. Eventually escapes, returns home to the extraordinary joy of his family, but there was a greater marvel going on within Patrick's heart. Patrick longed to return to Ireland. He had learned the language. And he knew that so many people like him 6 years prior did not know the true God. And worse, many were caught up under the Druid superstitions and just regular pagan life. So just like he had done a 200 mile journey, so he began a 20 year process of preparation to return to Ireland. Went to France to be trained as a priest. Eventually became the papal legate back to Ireland. And he came and he worked for the last 30 years of his life planting the seeds. After 20 years, he was able to establish the Archdiocese of Armagh. He had been successful enough. It was there that the Lord, through his faith, was able to work continuous marvels. Out of the evil he had suffered, God worked such extraordinary good, bringing salvation to so many of those who had formerly enslaved him. When we see this pattern, what happened with Joseph the Patriarch, what happened with Patrick, what happened with Jesus Christ, how many more examples of the Lord's marvels do we need to grasp that the Lord's greatest wonders often happen through our sufferings, through the sufferings we endure due to the evil of others? So we should always ask, when we're suffering some injustice of one form or another, what type of marvel the Lord will do. Sisters, in your work caring for so many women in difficulty, a lot of the times they have suffered injustice and evil, but how important it is to give the message of hope that the Lord's able to bring out of that extraordinary wonders in their life, and possibly toward the salvation of so many. As we prepare to receive Jesus here, let us remember how Jesus was the true center of St. Patrick's extraordinary life, the one who did all the marvels through St. Patrick's faith. Let us ask him, as St. Patrick used to wear over his beating heart each day in his famous breastplate, that Christ be with us. Christ be before us, behind us, above us, below us. Christ in the words of all who greet us. Christ in friend and stranger. Because Christ continues to work those marvels through us, like he did through Patrick. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.